Okay, let's talk about what's going on with the troubled ship at the Suez Canal. And Steve Eagle is the co-founder and director of How to Buy Australian Made. Steve, thanks for your time this morning.
Hello, Steve.
Hi, guys. Pleasure to join you. Claire and Lisa.
Now, if it wasn't, you know, so serious to the repercussions that it had, this was about the funniest thing that we'd seen all year.
It was pretty funny, wasn't it? And if you Google the satellite image of the path that the ship took before it got stuck, there was a lot of conjecture if the boat was maybe hacked. And I won't go into it. I'll let your listeners actually
do that.
I saw
that yesterday. Let's just say it was something that's fairly easy to doodle. I didn't even realize Freudian slip
right. Until I said. It looked rather suspicious, didn't it?
So it did look rather suspicious. Yeah. So, Steve, the Ever Given, it has been fully floated again now. Is it out of the way?
Well, they were able to restore 80% of the ship's direction over the last couple of days. So it's still in the canal, as far as I understand. But they have been able to resume the passage of the other ships along the way. So the good news is that there were around about 200 ships stuck in the Suez Canal before they moved the boat, and now those around about 200 are on their way through the canal. So it's starting to move again.
I have this image in my head of the other ships passing the Ever Given now with their hand on the horn and giving them the finger.
Giving them a bird.
Right. The bird. Thanks for making me so late. Yes.
Yeah. I would imagine, Steve, there was a few businesses had to make the choice and the decision to go the other long way right around Africa. It would have cost them a hell of a lot and a lot more time as well. Mm. But I guess in business, you've got to make that call at some stage.
Yeah, you really do. And there was a mix of goods stuck. Some of it was just general cargo. Some of it was oil. Some of it was natural gas. But there were actually livestock containers as well, livestock boats as well, and also water tankers as well.
Yep.
So that the Suez Canal feeds the Middle East and also Europe, obviously, with a huge amount of their goods. A full 12% of global sea freight goes through that canal. So really a huge issue there. We've measured it in our businesses. We were able to contract a container in last year. We were able to contract a container, 40-foot container, through that same passage for $851. I measured it last week at $4,940. So a massive increase in cost. Right. So this has an onflow effect as well. And I guess really what this highlights to us is that, you know, disruptions like this can be particularly harmful for small businesses who rely on, you know, fast fulfillment of the orders. A lot of the small businesses trading at the moment are trading online and taking advantage of the spike in online shopping we saw last year. And things like this just make that incredibly difficult.
I mean, there was some really serious stuff on board: fuel, coffee, toilet paper. But what did we all get hung up on?
Oh, yes.
Delivery of sex toys.
The adult products.
We are so immature, Steve, aren't we?
Of course we are. It's funny, though.
Yeah, Amsterdam running dry, right?
Yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, of course.
So, the shipping lines were already facing disruption and pressure before this, weren't they? So how long could it take for everything to get back to normal? Do you have any idea on that?
Yeah, look, I think they'll be working as quickly as they can to do it. It was costing the trade environment through that canal around about $400 million an hour.
How can you get my head around that?
Serious business.
Just a massive amount of money. So in that way, every all hands on deck, so to speak. Everybody's trying to unplug the canal.
Yeah.
I think, look, the onflow effect of this is probably going to linger for a few weeks at least, and it will be around the cost of freight and also the availability of freight. So while a lot of the cargo was diverted around the Horn of Africa, so probably about 40% of inbound cargo into the Suez Canal ended up getting diverted, that will obviously cause delays for those shipping companies. Mm. But then also the boats that were sitting waiting at the Suez Canal to get through on both sides, the Mediterranean side and also the Indian Ocean side, they're being stuck there also takes those boats out of the natural flow of how logistics is sort of normally working. So it's not going to be a fast fix, even though the boat might get out of the way. There are still significant delays and costs involved with getting back on deck.
Just goes to show how much of a vital waterway that is.
You've got multiple businesses,
Steve. Have you heard of this happening before there? You would imagine it would have happened before at some stage.
I actually haven't. Yeah. I was having a look. Out of interest, having a look at this last night, and I can't find another record of it being completely blocked, and not for this period of time. Now, the reason for that's quite interesting. Yep. Container boats are actually growing in size and have done exponentially in the last 15 years. Mm. So the boat that got stuck is actually classed as one of the largest in the world, 400 meters long, 200,000 tons. They're really racing against the clock as well, because there's a king tide predicted for this week.
Oh, dear.
And what that means is it will drop, the low tide will be very, very low. So they're not actually even sure if the low tide happens, will that boat be able to clear the canal anyway? A lot of boats normally don't. They wait outside of the canal until they have an appropriate tide and then make the passage.
There you go.
The king tide causing businesses, costing a princely sum right there. A royal bit of trouble going on. Hey, Steve, all the best, mate. We really appreciate your expertise.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, no problem at all. Look, I guess if anybody wants to take away from this, the highlight to take away is that this really points out that businesses need a local product strategy.
Yeah.
Yes.
International freight's been massively disrupted over the last couple of years, and it's not going away. And little things like this are now huge problems. Yeah. So local product strategy is a really important thing to have, and I'd encourage everybody to have a look at what we can do locally in Australia.
Yeah, and a surplus of people with lots of
lots
of spare batteries and no toys on hand. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
See, we're childish.
We're
sorry,
ridiculous.
I'm childish. Yeah, we went back.